And now it's time for the Falero and Solano show, right here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM.
Solano and Falero here on 560 WQM. Falero, I don't know what that was. What are you doing there?
I'm doing the robot, man.
That's not the robot.
This is robot music. Oh.
You can't dance very well, right?
Oh, I'm a great dancer.
Are you?
Oh, yeah. Just ask Chi-Chi. She can't go out with me. She says I embarrass her.
I'm one of those guys, like, you'll catch me at Purdy. Who knows what I'm doing? Like, I'm just acting a fool, but whatever. Like, I'm out there.
Yeah, like at a club, I'll just like move my feet to the rhythm. I'm not going to get too much.
The 1-2-step guy?
Yeah, but like in the house?
The 1-2-step guy?
Yeah. What does that mean? 1-2-step?
You're the 1-2-step guy.
Right. That song?
I'm a 1-2-step guy. But like I'll hit you with some moves.
But like at a club?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
There's not enough space. Have you gone to the patio? Everybody's hitting me.
Exactly what I said earlier. Like, there's just, I like El Patio. I love the music. I'm down to listen to Bad Bunny. Bad Bunny.
Anuel. That's Hector's boy.
Anuel Doble A.
Is it Doble A?
I went to the J Balvin concert.
Oh, God.
Wait, you want me to say J Balvin?
Yeah, just J Balvin.
That was nuts, man.
You had a good time?
I had a great time.
Yeah, what'd you guys
do? Bad Bunny.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was a lot of fun.
That's nice. Way to have your phone on.
What about the stage setup?
It was cool. It was all right.
Hector, can you put your headphones on, please? It's been bothering me the whole show.
His headphones aren't on?
They're not on. So I talked to him. He has his mic on. He can't hear me. He can't hear me right now.
Don Bailey Jr. took them from me Monday night. Hurricane Hotline.
DBJ? I gave him mine.
No, he took them the week before.
Huh.
So you've had your producer, you haven't had headphones for 2 weeks.
I mean, there's headphones in Zach's office.
Well, I had to do Hurricanes and then Panthers, so I really don't need them at the moment.
Just bothers me. I'm trying to have a conversation with him, and then he just ignores me, but he can't hear me because the mic's on.
I've done that to you, what, like maybe 3 or 4 times already?
Yeah, maybe more. It just did it again, too.
560-22 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. The Heat game's about to start. Goran Dragic back in the starting lineup. We were talking earlier about the 2 fast food chains you'd like to see in the same establishment. Some people are hating on Whataburger, Falero.
Who's hating on Whataburger? You can't hate on Whataburger, man. I'm telling you, it's the best fast food in the nation.
Get 3 original Burger King chicken sandwiches. Make a triple sandwich. Best thing on earth.
Ooh, I think I know what I'm having for dinner tonight, Solana.
That sounds like I wouldn't leave the bathroom for like 6 days.
Bro, have you had the original chicken sandwiches?
I'm a fan. You know, you get
me
lunch.
I get you that all the time. And you always say, oh, no, I'm good. I want to eat healthy.
And then I go home and eat ice cream.
Look at the text we just got. That'll give you a laugh. You know why.
Yeah.
Okay. Inside joke. Sorry, listeners. Sorry.
So we were talking about the Dolphins earlier. We're going to be joined by Omar Kelly coming up in about, 15 minutes here.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you he goes to Art Basel. We're gonna talk to him. I was getting a lot of hate on my sweater that I wore to Art Basel yesterday. My Basel sweater,
your mom's sweater.
It's my mom's sweater from the 1980s.
Like what? Like how did that conversation go?
My mom.
Can I borrow your sweater for tonight's event?
I don't live in my parents' house, so sometimes I keep some clothes in my parents' closet, you know, if I ever sleep over,
mm-hmm.
or if I'm there one day, I want to shower for whatever reason. So one day I'm in my parents' closet, I'm, you know, grabbing a shirt, and I see a jacket just catches the corner of my eye, just in the back of my parents' closet. Never see my mom wear it. And I grab it and I go to my mom, I go, is this yours or is this dad's? She goes, no, that's mine from the 80s when I moved here. I said, man, it's a nice jacket. She's like, do you want it?
She didn't say that.
And I said, hell yeah, I want it. She's like, okay, it's yours. She's like, it's a woman's sweater. I just want you to know, sweetie, it's a woman's sweater. I said, Mom, Mom, you know, this is 2018.
No.
This is 2018. If I want to wear a woman's sweater, So be it. I'm going to wear a woman's sweater. And let me tell you, I look damn good in that woman's sweater. I wore it to Art Basel. I got plenty of compliments.
No, you didn't.
I got plenty of compliments, Eric Folero.
Uh-huh. Aren't and you like 6 feet?
Just about.
How tall is your mom?
Much shorter. She's
like 5'2"?
Not...
5'3"?
Nah, she's like 5'5".
How do you fit into that jacket? And that jacket fits you big. I think there's more to the story. I don't think you got this from your mom.
What do you think happened?
I think you went to a store and bought this and go, and go, damn, this looks fresh. Let me buy this.
You were hating on my jacket the other day, Wednesday. It was like a pullover, a sweater.
It said Florida State Recycling Center on it.
I recycle. I'm sorry I care about the earth. I'm sorry I'm aware that, you know, recycling is important for the betterment of our beautiful planet.
I thought this was your dad's like company, Florida State Recycling Center. I'm like, oh, cool. And this is okay sweater. I mean, you're wearing your dad's company sweater. It's kind of weird. And he goes, no. I got this at Goodwill, $3.
So I wore my sweater, which Eric Folero is taking issue with, to Art Basel. He claims that I wore it to Art Basel because I'm trying to fit in. I'm trying to be a hipster. I'm trying to look cool and stunt on the gram. It's nonsense. I wore it to Art Basel because it's a nice-looking sweater. It's trendy. It's vintage.
Oh, it's trendy.
It's trendy.
Would you wear it anywhere else? Like, would you wear it to work?
I'll wear it to work. I'll wear it Monday.
No, you wouldn't.
I'll wear it Monday.
You're just trying to be hipster in front of everybody that's going to Art Basel who doesn't like art. Let's go to an event that has art in it and not watch art.
Renaissance. That's my favorite era of art, by the way. Renaissance. Renaissance paintings. What? You asked me earlier.
Give me an artist. From the Renaissance era.
You want me to give you an artist?
Yeah, because you don't have any. You don't like art. Stop trying to pretend. See, that's the thing about Miami people. They try to be fake and, oh, yeah, art. No, I'm good. I'm good. I'm good where I'm at. I'm good watching a movie on Friday night and ordering in and having a glass of wine. I love wine.
You drink wine? Since when do you drink wine?
I took 4 years of wine in college. I have an area of concentration minor in wine history. Bet.
By the way, the Mona Lisa was a part of the Renaissance period. So it was the Last Supper.
It's my favorite painting.
The Last Supper?
No, Mona Lisa. What's the Last Supper?
Oh, there we go, Hector. Disrespecting us.
Huh?
Disrespecting us.
By the way, none of you wish me a happy Hanukkah.
What day is it now? 8? 9?
6. We did the research on Hawkman and Crowder show earlier today.
Did you cut that up?
No.
Crowder singing, dreidel.
No, I'm terrible at my job. I have, if you type in caterpillar, Hector, that's pretty funny. You know how to spell caterpillar? Because you didn't know how to spell dearba early on.
56022.
You don't, cater, C-A-T-E-R, then pillar, P-I-L-L-A-R.
Oh, he really needed you to spell caterpillar out.
How do you not know that?
So we're going to talk to Omar Kelly later in the show. Or excuse me, coming up here in the show. Again, 56022 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. Somebody texted in, I lived in Dallas for 10 years. Whataburger sucks.
Well, first off, he said I lived in Dallas for 10 years. How do you not know how to spell lived? And he doesn't know what he's talking about. Whataburger is the best burger ever. I'm telling you, you got to try it.
We're going to ask Omar if the Dolphins have any shot at beating the New England Patriots on Sunday.
You've been giving me hell all show that because I think they do have a shot.
Yeah.
Oh, caterpillars make love on sticks.
Caterpillar.
There's a lot of love. Like caterpillar.
Dude said caterpillar.
Caterpillar.
And then you saw how quick me and Hawk jumped in on that.
Caterpillars make love on sticks.
Caterpillar.
There's a lot of love. Like caterpillar.
I take so much joy in finding people's errors.
You know what we should do? I'm upset that, you know, we didn't think about this earlier. We should just talk about like the things that upset us. Like you tell us. Okay, so hold on. Let me give a little background here. Eric Folero here to my right, my co-host. He is the executive producer and has been, I believe, for the better part of the last 2.5, 3 years,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, probably 3 years.
Of the Hawkman and Crowder show. You can hear that show here from 2 to 6 p.m. weekdays. I have been producing now the midday slot, now Dono and Frito. I've been producing middays for a little more than a year now, a year and a couple months. Hector produced for the Joe Rose show, now with Zach Krantz, before with Curtis for years. For 2 years, he now works nights. He was working with Dono. So, I mean, we're all very familiar with the hosts here at 560 WQM and have been. I think it would be fun to go around and I'm not even saying, like, poke fun or take shots, but, like, There are things that Hawk does that just annoy you, man. And I know because it annoys me.
Well, yeah, he's got this thing now. When they're on remote, every time we're off air, he speaks into the mic, like he cups the mic. So he talks like this, but then he does it super loud. So I can't hear him.
Hello?
Yeah, so it's every break.
He talks like this.
Yeah, so I'm trying to do work. I'm trying to cut up the podcast, trying to send live spots out. And he's just doing that because he knows I'm doing work. He just wants to bother me. And it just grinds my gears. Don't tell him, though, because if you tell him, now he's going to start doing it even more. He doesn't know when to stop.
It really does upset you.
It does. And then Crowder, he just yells at me. Not because he's mad at me or anything like that. He just starts yelling at me and just I can't respond because he just yells even louder. It makes me upset.
I think they just pick on you the whole time, though, right?
Well, I don't think any of it's real. I think it's just them. Oh, I want to pick on Valero. Oh, look, I know he's supposed to be doing work here. Oh, and Hawk, another thing. Ask me in the break. Oh, what time should I break? I might tell him six times in the break. And he knows what time to break. He's a producer. He's a former producer. He knows what time to break. He just says it just to.
So I do think it's an interesting dynamic here. People that listen to 560 WQAM, you guys listen because you enjoy the characters, the personas, whether it's Joe Rosen and Zach Krantz, whether it's Hawk and Crowder, whether it's Dono and Frito, whatever it is, you listen to those shows because you like the characters or personas that
you
mentioned.
Our show, Solana and Falero?
No, but
oh,
that's exactly what I'm getting to.
All right.
We can explain it we can give you a behind the scenes look of how these radio superstars really are. And sure, Hawk and Crowder, they're hilarious, you know, when the mics turn on, and they're hilarious off the mics as well.
When they're not picking on me, yeah.
Oh my God, God forbid if, you know, the computer shuts down, Hawk does not know what to do, you know? God forbid,
Crowder doesn't know his password.
Crowder just doesn't know a password to save his life. He doesn't. Joe Rose waits until the last segment of his show to record stuff that he needs to record when I'm in there trying to prepare for my show coming up. I mean, there's things that we can get to, and I want to get to them, but first we're going to talk to Omar Kelly next on 560 WQAM.
13 hours till I land, have me out like a light, hey, like a light, hey, like a light, hey, slept through the flight.
This song is a jam, man.
It is a jam.
Falero's in here dancing. Solana and Falero here on 560 WQM. It's not the Alex Dono show anymore that we're filling in for.
It's not.
Because Alex Dono now works from 10 to 2.
He sold us out tonight.
Did he?
Yeah, it's his shift. It was on the schedule.
He
Alex
worked
Dono
on the
show.
Schedule, bro.
Was he really?
He was, yeah.
He worked from 10 to 2 yesterday, the debut of the Dono and Frito show here on 560 WQAM. From 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., then had to do 2 hours and a Panthers game. That's rough, man. That is rough. It's a lot of radio.
His fault?
We've done two segments, and we're like,
I'm
out of ideas.
I'm gassed.
Luckily, we're going to be joined by Omar Kelly here. You can follow him at Omar Kelly. He covers the Miami Dolphins for the South Florida Sun Sentinel. And Omar Kelly is brought to you by Bud Light, Game Day's favorite light lager and the official sponsor of the Miami Dolphins. What's up, Omar?
I'm glad to be joining you too, because I've got respect for both of you guys, and hopefully they'll consider you seriously to replace Dono in this night shift here.
Thank you, Omar.
Thank
appreciate
you, Omar.
That.
Hopefully that opinion is the same in about 10 to 12 minutes once this interview is done. Yeah. So before we get to the Dolphins, because we already saw the South Florida Sun Sentinel predictions for the game, so we already know which direction that's going to be headed in. So I went to Art Basel last night, Omar. I don't know if you saw, I wore a women's sweater. I wore my mom's.
You wore a women's sweater.
I wore a women's sweater. My mom's vintage 80s sweater to Art Basel, and Falero he's been ripping me all day, saying that, you know, I only go to Art Basel because I'm basic and I'm just trying to fit in. You're going to Art Basel, right?
Well, yeah, I am. I've been the last two nights, and I'm going again tonight to another party. But the vintage women's sweater, I would say you would fit in Art Basel. I don't know if you wore it to fit in Art Basel. It's just it's strange because I hang out in Wynwood all the time, as you guys know. That's like my backyard, so it's like going to the local neighborhood bar for me. And Art Basel is unique because it's like the same bars that I go to, but the people are just a tad weirder. Not even a lot weirder.
Yeah.
A lot more artsy, a lot more unique. Men dress in women's clothing, you know, like your mother's sweater that you chose to wear. It's just very unique. So if you like to see a slice of the world that is, you know, that is unique and original and, you know, cannot be defined, this is your weekend.
Yeah. Oh, but my argument is that when Art Basel comes into town, all these hipsters and millennials, I want to go and see some art. They don't really love art. They want to go and get drunk and party. Like, just don't try to be basic.
See, you're right, but considering people from the world come to, you know, the hipsters of the world and the artists of the world and the artsy fartsy people of the world come, you just want to be amongst that and you want to feel cultured. And I could go out there and drink and do what I do every weekend out there. It's the same bars that I'm going to. It's just the people are a little different.
I think Eric Valero is just jealous of us, Omar, because we are cultured. We are one with the culture. And we spend our time in Wynwood, and he spends his time in Miami Lakes. I think that's why he's jealous.
I'd like to be a homebody, man. I like to go out and go to the movies. I don't like art, so I'm not going to force myself to go somewhere I don't like.
Well, I mean, but you got to consider your significant other as well. Maybe sometimes she wanted to.
She does like art. She does like art. And I gotta suck it up sometimes.
Yeah, you gotta suck it up and do it for the team. If you said, "Baby, we're going to Art Basel. Get dressed. Look pretty for me tonight." I guarantee you, she'd get excited and you'd get some.
Right. Start taking notes, by the way.
I am going to take notes.
Because, you, Omar, as
writing
you know,
it down.
You're about to tie the knot in a couple months. Eric Valero,
so am I.
In March is walking down that aisle as well. You better start taking notes. Yeah, you didn't know?
No, I didn't know it was March, bro.
March 3rd, man, the Palms Hotel.
Look at you. So you've been through the stress of planning as well.
Yeah, we're still looking for a florist and stuff like that. But
oh, I am too. In fact, I think I might have found one. I might be able to recommend it to you.
They're expensive, man.
Yeah, they are.
Everything's so expensive for weddings. All right, let's get to the nitty-gritty of Dolphins. You know, Tom Brady has struggled in Miami against the Dolphins. I believe he's 7-9. Jay Cutler beat them last year. Do the Dolphins really...
Hold on. Let's not do this. Tom Brady has struggled against Dolphins. Tom Brady has struggled against Jason Taylor's Dolphins. Tom Brady has struggled playing South Florida at home, you know, in the heat and humidity. But I'm not sure it's fair to say Tom Brady has struggled against the Dolphins. Like, yeah, Jason Taylor's Dolphins beat him up quite a bit.
Oh, but they forced him to 7-3 and outs last year, and they held him to a single game lowest passer rating of 4 seasons.
Okay. Last year I can't even explain that game. I really can't. It was the one game that injected hope. The Dolphins, they finally played the way they ideally planned to play all season as a team. And then the next week they laid a goose egg against Kansas City. So, they definitely get up for this game. They feel good about themselves. Anything can happen if their offense shows up. The problem is their offense doesn't show up very often.
Which is exactly what I was trying to explain to Flero. I really don't understand this, where Omar, and you said it best, people are looking at past seasons and saying the Dolphins play the Patriots well at home. I mean, there's a reason why all six of you at the Sun Sentinel chose the New England Patriots, right? Like, there's a reason why, because we don't have faith in the Miami Dolphins. Like, we've spoken about it, how even after wins, even after the, what was the most recent win? Buffalo. Like, you leave those games as a fan or even in the media watching those games, you're not confident.
Feeling good about yourself.
Right,
yeah.
You're not.
Yeah. You were confident early in the season, 3-0, and then the Patriots just pimp slapped you and everything changed. The next week you had a lead against Cincinnati and Ryan Tannehill gets hurt. And then he's, Brock Osweiler's your starter for 5 games. Tannehill comes back. Adam Gase doesn't trust him to throw on third and 10?
Yeah.
With the game on the line, they get 2-3 and outs. The defense lets Andrew Luck throw a miraculous pass on 3rd and 8 that gets them in the scoring territory that kicks a winning field goal. And last week, they look like crap again against Buffalo Bills, but somehow Josh Allen, even though he's scrambling for 138 yards, throws a desperation pass to Charles Clay that drops the ball. And that sums up the Dolphins' season. But let me put it to you this way. just so that you can gain some what I view as the accurate perspective or the objective perspective about the season. The Dolphins are 6-6 and in the playoff hunt. They're legitimately in the playoff hunt in December, which is what every team's goal is, despite having the 29th worst offense and the 29th worst defense in the NFL. Now, explain how that happened with an injury decimated team to the point where they're playing with one healthy receiver against the Colts, and you know all their injuries and you know all their issues, and now they got to go into this week without their top player in Xavier Howard. Explain how you're 6-6 with the 29th best offense and 29th best defense.
Omar, that was literally my next question to you. I had Gase had a lot of injuries. They ranked terrible in every single category except takeaways. How is this team 6-6? This team could have been 8-4 as well if they just made a couple of plays against the Colts and Bengals. How can this team be that much in the playoff hunt?
Well, they're good at home. That they're a different team when they're at home as opposed to when they're on the road. They're not a very good road team. Turnovers and takeaways. They have been extremely good defensively on that accord, and it's put them in position to win games. And let's not factor that they've scored two touchdowns on special teams. They've blocked how many punts and field goals. So they're very good. They're top three unit on special teams. And to explain how they're in this position is they play good team ball. It's not good football. It's good team ball. They're always resilient. They're always scrappy. They're always fighters. They haven't quit on themselves. They haven't stopped believing. Now, does it look pretty? No, it doesn't look pretty. But it's efficient and it gets the job done. I make the argument to a lot of people if they didn't lose Tannehill and maybe they have a little bit of a luck and Andre Branch gets a holding call against the Indianapolis Colts, this team would be 8-4. I mean, they're literally this close to being 8-4. Nobody cares because you're not. But, you know, that it's a very fine line between winning and losing in the NFL, especially when you're an 8-8 team, which is what I believe they are. And you really just have to make that one or two or three plays per game that decide the outcome. And somehow, some way, they've managed to do that in six contests.
And I feel like the players recognize this, right, Omar? Like, I mean, we understand the quote-unquote culture that Gase has tried to push. Players mm-hmm. that he's either clashed with or just didn't get along with. He traded them. He cut them. So you know, the guys in the locker room, for the most part, I believe, do like Gase, and they realize this, right? Where, you know, the team is injury-riddled, but they're still somehow 6-6 and in the playoff hunt. They credit that to Gase, right?
I don't know if they're crediting it to Gase. I think they're crediting it to team unity, because I wouldn't necessarily say that players are saying, oh, well, he's doing a great job, because, you know, the offense sucks. He's the play caller, and nobody else can take responsibility for that but him. But they, you know, you talk about the injury in the Xavier Howard, and there's a universal theme that goes that's every man. It's the next man up. Take responsibility for what role you're going to play, and be accountable to your brothers. And that's been consistent through Gase. They led to a ton of success in 2016, and it's held them afloat this year. Another theme is, you know, with the next week, all you worry about is 1 week. You're not thinking about the playoff picture. You're not thinking about the implications of what happens if we lose this game. Just focus on this 1 week and this one opponent, and then move from there. And that singular focus has benefited them. It's helped them. And, you know, like, look at this. I give you a perfect example. Jacksonville, man, they played so horribly against Tennessee because probably most of the players have already quit. You know, they're out there on the field, but they've mentally quit. And this team hasn't mentally quit. And in fact, and I do agree with them, they haven't played good football yet. There's more meat on this bone that they haven't gotten to. We haven't seen a Kenyon Drake, you know, real breakout game yet. We haven't seen, you know, Kenny Stills deliver a big play. Hell, Mike Gesicki's on a milk carton right now. They have not played a good collective game yet, and it's there. It's gonna happen one of these four games.
Flair on Solana here on 560 WQM, joined by Omar Kelly. You can follow him at Omar Kelly and find his work on the South Florida Sun Sentinel.
Omar, is this Ryan Tannehill's last season with the Dolphins?
I don't think so. I probably will be in the minority of people who say that, but I can read the tea leaves, and I'm pretty good at it, I think. And Ryan's having a statistical career year. It's not impressive, but it's clean. I mean, that's the best way that I can describe him. Your options to go replace him are the best I could give you is Teddy Bridgewater, unless you want to trade first-round picks for Derek Carr. Or you could draft a young quarterback and add him to the fold, but I would tell you it's going to be, especially considering what's out there in the draft, it's going to be hard for one of those rookies to unseat him. So right now, especially if Adam Gase is back, I have a hard time telling you that Ryan Tannehill won't be back. But I will tell you that more than likely he'll have competition in terms of either a veteran that they add or a young player that they draft. And hopefully he will have to compete for the job and not just, you know, be grandfathered to him like it has his entire career. But right now I don't have any doubt in my mind that Tannehill's going to be back. I know who he is. I know how hard he works. I know how the organization feels about him. And yeah, it's going to be hard for you to sell that to the fans, but you know how you satisfy fans. You just get them a first round draft pick quarterback or a second round draft pick quarterback, and they'll be right on board again. They'll be like, oh, wait till Tannehill struggles and we'll put in the young guy and he'll be great. And they don't realize that's not really how it happens.
Right. You sell them hope, which is essentially what the Dolphins have done at around week 14 every year, right? They're 6-6, 5-6 in the playoff hunt. And then they just poop themselves and they miss the playoffs. And we know what happens. Omar, thank you so much for joining us, man. You were great as always. Again, you can follow him at Omar Kelly. Have fun at our Basel.
I will. I'll do my best. I can't promise you I'll stay out too late because I'm not a big fan of crowds.
Sounds good. If you need to borrow a vintage sweater, a female sweater, let me know.
I got to see this picture.
I'm going to tweet it, Omar. I'll tweet it.
All right. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it's really bad.
Thanks again, Omar. You can follow us, by the way, at Eric Falero, at Alex M. Solana.
E-R-I-C-K. You got to make sure you say that because everybody thinks Eric is E-R-I-K or E-R-I-C. I got both.
Hector, what's your Twitter handle?
Esteban Mejia.
Okay. Yeah.
23.
Why'd you ask him?
You want to spell that one, Falero?
Nope.
We'll be right back here on 560 WQM.